Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. Let's step into a service in progress. In the background, they're going to be singing about lifting His name on high. You know, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And it's our goal at the Central Baptist Church to always be lifting up and magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. If you attend any service at the Central Baptist Church during the course of that service, you will hear the Lord Jesus Christ magnified and glorified in the proclamation of the glorious gospel. How that He loves us so much that He came to this earth to die for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And that's what we celebrate in the gospel. And indeed, our purpose is to lift His name on high so that people might come to know Him as Savior. And by the way, if you really do come to know Him as Savior, then you'll be able to say from your heart, "It is well with my soul." Listen now as Sister Precious sings that great old song with such a powerful message, it is well with my soul.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It was nailed to
my song is about the seasons, you know, the summer and the fall and the winter and all that. And when I knew I'd start talking, I'd start crying. I want to talk about the Lord. He's so good, and it just makes me want to cry. But it's about when our walk with the Lord is so close, sometimes he does bring us through valleys, but he puts us back on the mountaintop. But every time, it's so that we can be more like Christ. And so that's kind of what this song is about.
Every evening sky, an invitation to trace the pattern stars. And early in July, a celebration for freedom that is us. And I notice you when children play, and in those who watch them from the shade. Every drop of sun is full of fun and wonder. You are summer. Trees have just surrendered to the harvest time, forfeiting their leaves in late September and sending us inside. Still I notice you when change begins, and I am braced for colder winds. I will offer thanks for what has been and what's to come. You are autumn. Everything in time and under heaven finally falls asleep, wrapped in blankets white. All creation shivers underneath, and still I notice you when branches crack, and in my breath on frosted glass. Even now in death, you open doors for life to enter. You are winter. And everything that's new has bravely surfaced, teaching us to breathe. And what was frozen through is newly purposed, turning all things green. And so it is with you and how you make me new with every season's change. And so it will be as you are recreating me. Summer, autumn, winter, spring.
Now a message by Associate Pastor Lyndall Lee.
We're going to be in 2 Kings. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 8. We're going to take a little excerpt out of the life of Elisha. And really this is going to be more about the people surrounding Elisha than it is about Elisha. But we're going to talk about a time in the life of Elisha tonight. Now if you don't know the story of Elisha, you should take some time to read 2 Kings chapter 2 up to this point. Now, Elijah is the one that we hear about more often than not. He is the representative of the prophets for the nation of Israel. We hear about Elijah, but Elisha was his protege, to say. He mentored Elisha, and when Elisha took over, Elisha was a mighty man of God and did miraculous things, and you should really read about Elisha when you get the chance. But we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 7. And it says, "And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither." Now this is a small incident in the ministry of Elisha, but there is a great lesson is seen in the role play that is around Elisha in the next chapter we're about to read. I have three things that I'd like us to look at. First point, God can humble the most proud heart. God can humble the most proud heart. Look with me in verses 8 and 9. It says, "And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go to meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels of burden, and came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease?" Now Ben-Hadad was a powerful king. We're talking about a powerful man. He is known as Hadad-Ezer in ancient monuments. There is ample evidence in and outside of the Bible to the reign of Ben-Hadad and to his power and to his monumental status. We might call him Ben-Hadad II. He was probably the son of the first Ben-Hadad. Now, Syria was a strong nation in this day and was a constant military threat to Israel. But God had to intervene twice to keep them from destroying the entire northern kingdom of Israel. This was a military general. He was a man of power. He was a man of wealth. And he was a man of great intelligence. And so we see here that this was a man's man. This man had everything at his fingertips of the time. And he was a man of power. But you know what? God can humble the even the proudest of hearts. For you see, this man got sick. He got very sick. And when he did, all the power, all the money, all the intelligence meant nothing to him anymore. It meant nothing. He humbled himself before the man of God immediately. See, there was many a time that he was at odds with Elisha. This was not Elisha's friend. But yet he humbled himself before the man of God. And went to him. He counted him an enemy for so many years, yet he went to them. He was ready to give a large chunk of his wealth away, to show great weakness for just a bit of information. Just a little bit of information. You know what, Christian? Today, God can humble us. God can humble us. Amen. And humbling always comes at the most painful and the most inconvenient time. You do not want to be humbled by God. You don't. I remember a time in my own life when I feel I was humbled by God. It was a time when I felt like I had a direction set for my life and I didn't need anybody's advice. To make a long story short, God had a different idea. And I was humbled. My health was taken away from me. My plans were taken away from me. And God set a new course for my life. One of which I thank him for today, and I'm glad he did, but it was very painful at the time. Being humbled can be very painful. And God can take the starch out of your collar, if you know what I mean. Should give you a little country term there, okay? God can take the starch out of your collar. Now, why would he do that? Why would God do that? He would do that because there are lessons that can only be learned in the pain of humility. There are lessons that can only be learned in the pain of humility. We all need to be broken every so often. You know why? Every so often you need to be broken. And God knows it. Because we need to know that it is all of him and that it is none of us. Amen. We need to know that. You need to know that you're weak. You need to know that you're powerless without the hand of God upon your life. You need to know that. God knows that pride is deadly to a believer. God knows that pride is deadly to a believer. And God will humble us. He says many a time in the scripture, we read in Proverbs about pride coming before a fall. God will humble you. God can humble the most proud of hearts. Secondly, I want you to look at, if you are standing, take heed. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. Let's go ahead and read down in the chapter first. Let's read verses 10 through 13. 2 Kings 8, 10 through 13. 10 says, "And Elisha said unto him, Go say unto him, Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit, the Lord hath showed me that he shall surely die." So he's going to recover from the sickness. The sickness isn't going to be what kills him. He's going to die. "And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed. And the man of God wept. And Hazael said, Why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with the child. And Hazael said, But what, is thy servant a dog, that he should do this great thing? I mean, do you think I'm a dog that I'm going to do something that bad? Why do you think that of me? And Elisha answered, The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria. Now, in order for him to be king, his dad must die. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 10, 12. You don't have to turn there. It will come up on the screen for you. It says, Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. See here, Ben-Hadad sent his son Hazael to inquire at Elisha. He sent him because he counted him the only one that he could trust. And Hazael asked the question just like his dad said. And he got the answer just like his dad requested, though it was a strange one. The sickness would not kill Ben-Hadad, yet he would die. Yet he would die. The great austere prophet stared at Hazael until he became uncomfortable. And then Elisha began to cry. And when he asked why, he gave a terrible report of Hazael's coming deeds. Verses 12 and 13. Notice verse 13. Hazael was shocked and insulted by even the accusation. He was absolutely appalled that the man of God could make such an accusation against him and tell him what he was going to do when he knew he would not do such a thing. He could not believe that even such a thing would be said. He couldn't believe that he would be capable of such sin. Take heed, Christian.
Amen.
Don't find yourself in that position. What sin are you capable of? Have you grown spiritually beyond certain lowness? Have you grown to the point in your life that you can stand up and say, I know I'll never fall like that? Are you too good a person to do some things? Do you know that at a moment of weakness, at the smallest moment of weakness and in temptation, we can do anything any lost person can do?
Amen. Exactly.
Yes, we can.
Amen.
You know why? Because you have a fallen nature.
Amen.
You were lost at one point too. But you know what? If you've called upon the name of the Lord, you're saved, correct?
Amen.
God's given you a new nature. God's given you a way out of that stuff. But you know what happens? We become so self-absorbed, and we begin to look inward so much that we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off the prize. We get to the point where we feel like we're self-sufficient, where we can do it on our own, where this isn't going to affect me. I'll be okay. And then it happens. That moment of weakness comes. That moment when we just take our eyes off of Christ for that little time. And that's all it takes. The Bible says the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And all he needs is a second. All he needs is a second.
Amen.
A second of weakness.
Amen.
And boom, you'll do things you never thought you'd do. What am I saying? Keep your eyes on the prize.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Christ. Don't think you're above things.
Amen.
Don't think you're above a lost and a dying world. Because you're not. We're to reach out to them. We're to show them the love of God. We know where they're coming from. You know, we can relate to them. It's not for us to judge them. It's for us to love them. It's for us to help them. It's for us to show the mighty loving arm of Christ.
Amen.
And we got to keep our eyes on Christ. Because if we don't, we can fall. If we're standing on our own, we need to take heed lest we fall.
Amen.
It says so. Paul tells us the same thing in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. I'll paraphrase that quickly. 3. If we do not humble ourselves, we will fall. We will fall. Let's look at, let's continue in our passage. We're going to be in verse 14. So he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, "What said Elisha to thee?" And he answered, "He told me that thou shouldest surely recover." And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it on his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his stead. Notice what Hazael did when he got home. He delivered Elisha's message concerning his dad's illness, but not concerning his life. He told him, he said, "Yeah, he said you're going to get over this sickness," but he didn't tell him whether he would die or not. Why? Because he was the cause of his death. The one thing he sat there and said to that prophet, "I will never do. How dare you even talk to me like that? What do you think I am, a dog?" He went home and did. He murdered his own father. This is the son of Ben-Hadad, the trusted son of Ben-Hadad. He sent Hazael because he trusted Hazael above all others. He sent him in his stead because he was sick. This is the one who was incensed that Elisha would cast such aspirations on his character. He murdered his own sick father. Then he went on, to do everything Elisha said he would do. So what would it take to make us fail? The worst setup for such a monumental fall is pride. Is pride. The worst setup for such failure is a prideful spirit. You know, we see this over and over again in the scripture. If you will, look with me in Matthew 26 and verse 33. This is Peter talking. This is one of Christ's disciples talking. Peter puffs up because Christ has told him that he's gonna fail him. And he says, "Lord," he answered unto him, "though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I will never do that." What do we go on to see in the life of Peter? One who actually walked with Christ in his earthly ministry.
Amen.
He went on to deny him not once, not twice, but three times. Three times. Pride came and Peter fell. We see it of Demas. Demas had a prideful spirit. We see that in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, it reads, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." It's Demas, one who worked with Paul, probably the greatest evangelist who ever set foot on this earth, set the Roman Empire and the rest of the Western world on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Demas had a prideful spirit and fell. Even the most powerful of Christians, even these people who we look up to today as pillars of the faith, fell because of a prideful spirit. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." This is a promise. Pride will put us in a position for colossal failure and a need to be humbled. What great advice we find in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time."
Amen.
Humble yourselves. See, it is better for us to do it than it is for God to do it.
Amen.
Are you hearing that?
Amen.
It's much better for you to humble yourself, for you to get under the mighty hand of God, the powerful hand of God, than it is for him to do it for us, excuse me. And you know what? Take my word for it. He can do it. And he will. And he will. Pride versus humility. We need to live a life that's personified by humility, and by being humble, and by being loving, and by being caring, and by keeping our eyes on Christ.
Amen.
See, because if we don't, we find a real danger. Because then we begin to be consumed with pride. And we see where pride will lead us. We see where it led Peter. Don't let yourself be consumed today. Don't make this about you. Make this about the only one that matters. We sing the song, The Heart of Worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away, what is there left? When this world's gone, when this world's stripped away, when this world burns in the air that it sits in, what's going to be left? Jesus.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
They're not going anywhere. So, let me highly recommend, let's humble ourselves before God. Because you'd much rather do it yourself than have him do it. Boy, this life would be really hard to do on our own, Brother Hart.
Amen. Yes.
I wouldn't want to have to do it, and I don't want any of you to have to do it. So if there's any here that has not taken the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, guide, or counselor, if you're not saved, don't wait another minute.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.